Wilson, like a cork in the ocean over his head. Oh, my word!
This is a virtuoso performance. He will leave tonight and get on the team bus with a violin case. I'm going to say it, Bruce. That was centimetre perfect. What a kick.
Hello and welcome back to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021, and the new Kia Niro electric SUV, which has now landed. Well, he's one of the greats, and on Saturday, allegedly, he called his final AFL game a grand final, fittingly, in Perth. Dennis Cometti joins us. Welcome to you, Dennis, and congratulations on a brilliant career. You've entertained us all magnificently for a few decades. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jared. Great to hear your voice. You're not taking it as being gospel, though, are you, that I'm retiring?
No,
I can hear that in your voice.
No, I'm a doubting Thomas, I've got to say, and I look forward to your comeback. It's going to be hard to beat a grand final in Perth, Dennis. What a fitting way to go out, if in fact that's it.
It is it. But it was a fantastic game, wasn't it? A strange game. I've never seen one quite like it. Both teams looked certain to win at various times, and it didn't work out that way, did it? They were just two sides that went at it for, well, 2.5 quarters, and then suddenly Melbourne ran riot. It was a good day for me because as a kid I used to barrack for Melbourne.
Yep.
My first jumper was a Melbourne jumper, and then I went sort of via the Bulldogs to 3DB. I played a few reserves games for the Bulldogs back in 70, I think it was, or 71. So, fond memories of both those clubs.
We'll get to the game in a tick, but tell me about Perth. Oh. And you must be proud of your old town.
Yeah, they turned it on, didn't they? And of course, they're lucky because most people are healthy over here at the moment in terms of COVID. I look east and it's a terrible thing that's happening over there. So I think it was certainly great for the city, and I hope it was a lift for people in Melbourne watching the game. It was a lovely day, and as I say, both sides had their chances. And then they saw, when it became one-sided, they saw a virtuoso performance from Melbourne. I mean, Melbourne were outstanding. I mean, Petrarca, he reminded me of Lee Matthews XL. Yep. I mean, he's just a bigger and quicker. I mean, you know, Lee would have trouble dealing with him, I reckon.
Yeah, he'd have one way dealing with it. I don't think he'd get away with it these days.
Dennis, you can't do that anymore, can you?
Dennis, you've broadcast from suburban venues in Perth, the famous old suburban venues here in Melbourne, of course, grand finals at the MCG with 100,000 people. For those that haven't been to the new Perth Stadium, just talk us through it from a broadcaster's perspective as to just what an amazing cauldron it is.
Well, there's just more room. You know, it's a bigger place. It's a more modern place. That's not putting the MCG down because I love the MCG. You know, cricket, football, I've had some wonderful memories from the MCG. So this is not one better than the other. They're just from different eras. Now, a lot to be said for the MCG. I believe in tradition. So I don't know whether you could do this again. It's hard to say. I just love the stadium. It's brand new. Everything sparkles. There's so much space. It's all about space. And I think even more leg room, there'd have to be, wouldn't there? But so it's new and it's got that advantage over the MCG. It's one of the great stadiums in the world, there's no question. But other stadiums will be built and they'll become great stadiums of the world. That's the way it goes when it comes to stadia.
Hey, Dennis, congratulations on an outstanding career. I've just loved listening to you call, and even some of my games being part of hearing you call my name was a real thrill. I've got a couple of questions. I know you've probably been asked this 1,000 times before, but the player you enjoyed calling most and the game that you loved calling the most over your journey.
Well, I think the 89 grand final stands out for a whole range of reasons, but that was a spectacular game, sensational start. You didn't have to wait long. Mm. In fact, I was looking back over my left shoulder to see what the heck had happened, but it was a terrific game. And when you look at the figures of, say, a game like that compared to what we've seen in the last decade, the number of possessions in games, it was about a third. It was about a third. It just went from end to end, goals, Ablett, you know, the whole thing. So that's one of the great games I saw. And State of Origin. I mean, nothing was purer than State of Origin. Undercoached, which was a good thing, and the best players in the country coming together. And they meant it. I mean, they didn't come over here for a free ride. They came over here to try and win games against South Australia or Western Australia, the Victorians. And, of course, the other way around. We didn't play too many State of Origin games in Melbourne, though, but certainly in Perth and Adelaide, that really rejuvenated football. Not that it needed too much rejuvenation, but that was an extra step that we hadn't seen coming, and it was magnificent.
And the player, sorry, Dennis?
Did I say a player? Well, Lee would be one. Polly would be another. I played with Polly back in the 60s, and he was very good to me, Polly. I think I may have been known as Polly's pet at one stage. I got very close to Polly. And then, let me see, other players. Too many. I'm going to leave some out that probably, when I think back about the interview, I didn't list any. So Farmer, certainly. Cable, brilliant. Now, they're both West Australians. I saw a lot of them. But Cable, both of those players proved their worth when they went to Victoria. Ebert, I like very much. And as far as the Victorians are concerned, I mentioned Lee. I go back a ways over there. My favourites actually turned up over here. A lot of Melbourne players in particular came to Western Australia. So I saw Bob Johnson probably in his prime. He coached a premiership side over here. Hassa Mann was another great player who came from Victoria and coached a premiership side in Perth. Don Williams, who was another great player. All these names, Jared, you'd recognise. Mm. Don Williams came over and he played for West Perth and played in the premiership. And ironically, the coach of that team was Arthur Oliver from the Western Bulldogs. And my first league coach over here was Bob Spargo, whose grandson played for Melbourne the other day.
Yes, and he's now a premiership player. Dennis, going to ask you about the game. You've seen, you know, probably in my view, the best era was early 90s. It's gone through this really congested era. It seems to me to be coming out the back, or coming out the front, as it was with Petrarca getting all those goals from the front half of the squared. Are you happy with where the game is evolving to at the moment?
Yeah, I think it's getting better. I think it's sort of come out of the doldrums. When you look at the possessions in that game I was talking about back in 89, they were probably less than a half of what they were doing, you know, sort of 4 or 5 years ago. So that's remarkable in its way, isn't it? Where did those possessions go with far less scoring? So it went backwards. It was hard to watch at times. But now I think, unlike you, I mean, when you saw that free running at the weekend, of course, these were the best two sides. Yep. But they had runners. We knew that going in. Fancy trying to stand in Petrarca's way. I mean, if you're 20 metres gone from the centre, he was gone. You know, like you couldn't bring him down. And that sort of player is so exciting. As I said before, Lee couldn't catch him, and I doubt Lee could knock him over. But as you said, probably Lee had his own measures that he could take. But it's terrific. That game at the weekend, when both sides could win it, now we say that often when we see games, either side could win. But really, you get a feeling that one side's on top. But I've never seen such movements one way and the other happen so quickly. I mean, halfway through that third quarter, you were going to put your house on the Western Bulldogs, and then suddenly, by three-quarter time, Melbourne are about, three and a half goals in front.
Yep.
Will you still go to the footy next year, Dennis? And if not, how will you fill in your weekends?
Well, no, I'll go to the footy. Well, I don't know if I'll go, but I will certainly watch it on television. I mean, it's a smorgasbord on TV. If the game is not going, you know, sort of as you'd like it to go, or if it's one-sided, then maybe you can just switch channels and get another game. It's just terrific, the coverage now. No one can argue with that. And, you know, everyone's doing a terrific job covering it, no question.
Do you have a favourite young ball-by-ball broadcaster, Dennis, that you'd like to put on the map?
Yeah, I may have, but I wouldn't want to put it on radio.
I see.
I'm just stunned by how good a lot of the guys are. You know, like, I think they're just getting better and better. And, you know, they're fresh-faced and they bring some new ideas. And that's the thing. I think what you're looking for in broadcasting, whether it be football or broadcasting in general, you know, you need people who are the real deal and bring something unique to the contest or the broadcast, whatever it might be. And I think there are plenty of those around, and we're going to get a lot better.
Before we let you go, Dennis, who finishes higher next year, the West Coast Eagles or the Fremantle Dockers?
That's a very good question, isn't it? They've got nothing to trade, West Coast. I mean, getting Kelly back for two first-round draft picks and not taking him when they had four goes at him with no other team sort of in the marketplace. I mean, he was playing local football. They could have drafted him any one of 4 years and just put him on the rookie list. And they go then when he plays at Geelong and does so well and give up two first-round draft picks. Now, I think they pick midway through next year. When the draft's on, I think their first round pick is midway through the first round. Nothing then until about in the 20s in the second round. I can't see how they get better. Maybe one last hurrah. That's the best I can do. But I think they're going to be hard-pressed for the next decade. I don't see it getting easily fixed.
Dennis, I have had a great pleasure over many decades both working with you and listening to you broadcast all manner of sports. It's been a great pleasure for us, and I'm sure all of our listening audience would join me in by saying congratulations. Thanks for your input to the sport. You've been absolutely brilliant, and have a great retirement, if it is so.
Don't say that. good on you, Jared. I don't think, I'm being honest here, I don't think that I've worked with too many more insightful experts than yourself. And it's good to hear your voice.
You're very kind, Dennis. All the best, mate, and have a great retirement. Dennis Cometti, the great Dennis Cometti. What a fantastic contribution he has made. Matthew Lloyd's here for Macca's Monopoly game. Lloydie's top sevens up next.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.